Good Monday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Hope everybody had a happy, healthy, restful 4th of July holiday weekend. Back ready to roll. I know, Junior, you were working. By the way, how was it to be at a live event? Because you and Jason Fitz did the call for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. By the way, I've also said Joey Chestnut is so good, he's taking the competitive out of competitive eating.
Yeah, it has just become watching Joey Chestnut eating.
Exactly.
Basically what it is. But it was exciting, man. Like,
this is like a life goal for you.
It was. I have watched that contest on 4th of July weekend since I was a kid, obviously since ESPN started airing it back many years ago. Mm. And it was awesome just to get to be around a live event again. Obviously, it was indoors. We had called it the MLE bubble, Eat Island, in all of this. But it was, you know, not usually on the corner of Surf and Stillwater where these massive crowds were for all of the social distance safety reasons. Right. But I spoke it into existence last week, Trey. I kept telling people, hammer the over. I feel like records are coming with these indoor temperatures. And sure enough, Mickey Sudo on the women's side, 48.5 hot dogs and buns for a new record for the women. And Joey Chestnut, 75 hot dogs and buns, breaking his own record. And your boy was there for the call, watching all the dogs and buns flying all over the place. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it was like in 2004, 2005, they actually asked me to do the play-by-play.
Oh!
And I had already made plans, so I couldn't do it. But we would have had a shared broadcasting experience.
It would have been a beautiful thing there, man. Could have joined the strong lineage. Adam Amin, who had been on the call for the last couple of years. Yeah, could have been the bottom. Maybe, you know what, Trey? Maybe sometime down the road, in a world, there is still a spot where you too can be a part of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
There are all kinds of possibilities out there. We shall see. So we're glad you're with us this morning. Again, hope everybody was restful and enjoyed their 4th of July holiday weekend, if indeed you had one. And my God, we have a lot to talk about this morning, because we were talking about this before the show began. It is amazing how much change and how quickly it has happened, basically in sports, as a reaction to everything else that's happening in the world. Think about it. The last couple of weeks, we've seen NASCAR ban the Confederate flag. The Confederate emblem is taken off the state of Mississippi's flag. And then came the news Friday that the Washington Redskins, still at this moment, are undergoing a comprehensive internal review to talk about changing the name. And let's be clear, they're not taking this review if they're not changing the name. This is the beginning of the end of the name of the Washington Redskins.
Yes, all because a large group of people decided to not stick to sports, which is always its own separate hilarious conversation. But now it's got interesting. So we talked about that with Washington all at the end of last week, this internal review. You've got Ron Rivera saying, you know, coming out and saying that him and Dan Snyder are working on new nicknames for the team. They've got a couple they really like, but they're not going to tell us yet. Like, this is not a thing to probably
teaser.
I don't know if we need the gender reveal tease for the nickname of a team that had been a racial slur for a long time, but you know, you guys will go ahead and do your thing. But now it gets interesting. So the Washington football team has now received some other interesting news that three minority owners are seeking to sell their shares because they are, quote, not happy being a partner with owner Dan Snyder. This according to The Post. Prominent businessmen Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Frederick W. Smith, who combined to own about 40% of the team, have hired an investment banking firm to undergo a search for possible buyers, according to The Post. One person familiar with the relationship between Snyder and these minority shareholders told ESPN's John Keim that he felt that this had come as a big surprise to Snyder because he had considered them all friends.
Oops.
You know what? So it's interesting in this, Trey, is this is the time where you're going to sell off your Snyder stock? Like, I've sat here racking my brain to try and figure out why now you just figured out that Dan Snyder probably isn't the guy you want to be hanging out with.
Well, it is interesting, right? Because we're at a situation where, you know, the NFL can say whatever they want and plan for whatever they want, but nobody has any idea what's actually going to be happening in the fall. So if you are thinking about selling or buying, this is a very unsettling time based on the profits that you might have gotten a year earlier or maybe a year later. So it is an interesting it's an interesting cross-section between what's going on with the team and then the financial surroundings of what's going on that might affect the team, that you're right, that this would be a curious time to say, hey, let's put this up for sale.
But also, according to what you just said there, it could be an easy out. If you were looking to maybe limit your debt going into the fall, limit your risk going into the fall by being associated with a team that you've got a bunch of money tied into, this could be an easy time to say, all right, Dan Snyder's name is in the public again. it's obviously never really done in a positive light when it comes to Dan Snyder, this name in the public. This could be an easy time if you were looking for an out there, or it could be an easy time to maybe if this review had been too much of a discussion behind the scenes and change wasn't as certain as we all believed it to be, maybe this is an easy way to push it across the finish line by applying even more financial pressure, saying 40% of your backing, 40% of your shareholders might be out should you not cross the finish line and do the right thing here. This could be threat of force.
That's a very interesting way to look at it because Daniel Snyder has used the word never 1,000 times when he talks about whether or not he'll change the name of the team. But to your point, if this is the way they're trying to apply some pressure, understand that's why all of this is happening. Let's listen to Dominique Foxworth on GetUp, basically explaining the financial situations that might be finally leading to the possibility of the name being changed.
I think that this will be the final straw that pushes them over the edge and forces Dan Snyder to go back on his word and change the name of this team. It's not just that FedEx has kind of turned against them. It's also a lot of local people and local politicians. I know one of the important things to Dan Snyder, and frankly, I was intrigued by what Dan Graziano said earlier, that he said the other owners are going to kind of stay out of Dan Snyder's business, but it becomes all of their business when it impacts Dan Snyder's ability to build a new stadium. He wants to build a new stadium back in D.C. on the old grounds of RFK, and local politicians said that he won't be able to do that unless he changes the team's name. And that, seeing as Washington is one of the most profitable franchises in the league, that'll impact the revenues for the entire league and impact everyone.
And what's really interesting, if you break down what Dominique Foxworth is saying there, and people are getting all, this is just, you know, a political correctness, whatever, gone too far. No, this is called capitalism. This is exactly what's happening because people like FedEx and the local businesses in Washington, D.C. are feeling the change of people's minds that are their consumers. And their consumers are looking at things differently. And the guys that have the products that are consumed by the consumers are worried about their bottom line. And that bottom line is now forcing Daniel Snyder to potentially make changes. So you can cry about, oh, this is activism. This is literally capitalism at work because people are concerned about the bottom line and their money invested in a team that is named at the moment still the Washington Redskins. And suddenly people are changing their mind about that. And those are the people that buy the products that endorse the thing that Washington has right now. And those people that are giving up those products are worried about their money.
Yeah, and that money being affected by consumers who have decided to maybe spend their dollar a little more according to their moral compass and all
Correct.
This. Like, keep in mind, when people talk about and complain about politics being around sports or anywhere else, all this identity politics stuff isn't real politics. Politics is the power to go out and create action through the force of where you put your money and your time.
Correct.
That's what people are doing in all of this. And it's what we've always asked of sports fans, quite frankly, is put your money where your mouth is. If you really are so passionate about something being displeasing to you, you will remove yourself from either watching, supporting the people that own the teams or the people that support the teams through their money. We're seeing that happen now in Washington in very real time with dollar figures that we could sort of quantify last week when we talked about all this. But I will keep coming back to it is a very strange bit of why now that might have two reasons I think we've touched on here that these minority shareholders would look to, you know, go ahead and put their money elsewhere. And then there's the interesting thing we can get into later of where does this end? Because it sounds like there could be a call to action that influences a lot more than just the Washington football team.
Absolutely. And again, FedEx is significant because they have the naming rights to the stadium. And when those people start to say, hey, we're not sure we want to be a partner with this, that's when actionable change actually begins. We'll have much more on this and the Washington Redskins changing their name with Brian Mitchell, a longtime Washington Redskin who will join us a little bit later to talk about as a former player and a guy who covers the team right now, what he thinks about the move and how he felt about it when he was playing. I'm always curious about that because when you're subject to a paycheck from somebody, things can be perceived a little bit differently. So we'll get into all of that. But coming up next, Fight Island is so real and it's happening at lightning speed and we need to get Junior there as fast as possible. We'll get to all of that after this.
I'm going to be covering everything
Let's go.
Fight Island. I want to cover the next bench press competition. I'm shooting my shot on all of these things now. The door, you have cracked the door open.
You're not throwing away your shot. Hamilton on Disney Plus.
I still haven't watched. I'm like the only person
What's
that hasn't
wrong
watched
with
it
you?
Yet. I know. DraftKings, though. DraftKings. We've all heard the rumors, but the wait's finally over. Fight Island, ready to go. This Saturday, the fighters are going to take their talents to Abu Dhabi for UFC 251. The lineup of fights this weekend is one of the best yet, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, going to put you right in the center of the action starting this Thursday with a free shot at $1 million top prize with your first deposit. If you haven't tried yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. I'm sure Mike Ryan has already been doing this, is already all over it. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. But if MMA is not for you, don't worry. DraftKings has plenty of fantasy golf action for this weekend's tournament. There you go, Trey. A little something for you there, buddy.
Woo!
Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code GOLIC and get a free shot at the $1 million top prize for this weekend's UFC 251 contest with your first deposit. That's promo code GOLIC to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Let's get on a plane and book it to Fight Island next on GOLIC and Wingo.
I'm really hoping that Jorge Masvidal and Usman find a way to fight.
UFC 251, it will take place in Abu Dhabi.
I'm going to pick Usman, but man, Masvidal is dangerous.
Golic and Wingo here with you on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guest will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll have Ariel Helwani coming up a little bit later to talk about Jorge Masvidal and Usman coming up again. It's going to be this weekend at Fight Island, which we found is a real thing. It's spectacular. And this is interesting, Junior, because the last time we saw these two was at the Super Bowl, right before, right in front of our set in South Beach. Not South Beach, but in downtown Miami. And my God, they almost went at it in street clothes.
It got spicy there quickly. And there were plenty of video from that altercation. You can go and check it out on there. But make no mistake about it, these two do not like each other. And so that is the backdrop for the fight that we wanted to happen this one. We wanted Masvidal. We wanted Usman. Obviously, everyone who's, I think, been tuning into ESPN has seen Jorge Masvidal has been someone that the Lebatard Show has really loved and adopted, a Miami guy, a lot like them they've talked to. We expect Stugatz to maybe try and wiggle his way into Abu Dhabi, but we weren't sure that Masvidal was going to be there. UFC and him had difficulties in negotiations that had led to, in this situation, Gilbert Burns being the original portion of this fight removed there. He tweeted out that, you know, he's not feeling well. Right. So, you know, you can infer what
read
goes
into
on
that
there,
what you will.
But he is now out, and it appears Jorge Masvidal, according to our own Ariel Helwani, as of 12:12 a.m. last night, this morning, however you phrase that, Masvidal is on his way to Abu Dhabi. He had been out in Las Vegas. He had passed his initial COVID-19 test there and now is good to go. They've got to pass, I believe, two more tests before they get to be able to fight in Fight Island, but they are on their way to the fight we all wanted to begin with.
Yeah, just so people understand from a logistics standpoint, here's what has to go on. They have to pass a test in Vegas, and then they fly to Abu Dhabi, take a second COVID test at a hotel and a quarantine pass, take a third COVID test quarantine pass, make weight Friday, take the fourth COVID test quarantine pass after weigh-ins, and then you have the fight. So we're talking about the beginning of a long process. And it's interesting, right? Masvidal is taking a title fight with just a week notice. And we talked about that, was it 250 or 249? Someone got in there real quick. And didn't have the proper prep time. I can't remember who it was.
It was when we were talking about, and I'm his name's escaping me, but it was the conversation about his corner not stopping the fight when
correct.
He asked
yes.
nine times
yes.
because he took the fight on a week's notice. Now, a bit different here because, by all accounts, everyone in Masvidal's camp says he hasn't stopped training this entire time. He's been training as if he were going to be a part of the fight, so it tends to work out pretty well because it does beg the question, who is kind of exposing themselves to more risk at this? You've got Usman, who's all of a sudden now on a week's notice going to be taking on a fighter that he wasn't preparing for versus Jorge Masvidal, who's going into this in theory on short notice, even though that we know physically that's not necessarily the case.
All right, here's Dana White, UFC president, on what it took to get this fight together, again, because Gilbert Burns had to drop out.
If you look at the 20-year history, this kind of stuff happens. When you get into negotiations for fights, these things happen. Gilbert Burns has been on a tear, was consistently fighting and wanted to continue to fight. And he was the number one contender, so Gilbert Burns made sense. Obviously, Masvidal has become a massive star over the last year and a half, and that's the fight that the people want to see. So when Burns fell out, we got in a room and figured Masvidal out.
they finally gave him the money he was looking for. Like, Jorge Masvidal thought, like you said, he was Fighter of the Year last year. He had the BMF belt that he had fought for. He was a guy whose stock is on the rise.
Eating pizza and drinking some sort of whiskey after baptizing somebody in his last fight.
It's a beautiful thing. Great. And so he thought he was owed a certain amount of money. And what happened is, because Burns had to bow out for the reasons that we're all well acquainted with right now, it gave Masvidal a ton of leverage in this situation. Yep. I'd be very curious what kind of payday he was able to secure for this, because you'd have to imagine, on short notice, to get the fight that UFC wanted all along, really, in this situation, they probably had to pay the piper.
Well, and I think Masvidal has had more fights than anyone in history. A championship fight, 40-plus fights he's gone there. So there had been some financial back and forth between these guys. So I'm sure you're right. Masvidal saw a financial opening and probably was able to garner himself a nice payday here.
Because this is a guy that we talked about this as it related to Conor McGregor a while back. This idea that Conor McGregor wants another crack at all this one, wants another kick at the can. But we said he's maybe one more loss from starting to fade into the distance, despite being the biggest star that the sport had ever seen.
Correct.
I mean, that $4 billion valuation and sale that the UFC ultimately went for owes a lot of it to the groundswell of support that certainly others have contributed to. But Conor McGregor was the most notable.
Absolutely.
No doubt in that. And so you're always looking and wondering what could be next. I mean, you look at Jorge Masvidal, big personality, a guy who has, again, had this massive ascension in recent years. And if you cap that with a title now, all of a sudden you might have the sport's next big-time star.
Absolutely. And so he's getting ready to fight. Now, again, we referenced this earlier. The last time they were sort of together, Usman and Masvidal had a huge sort of public spat at Radio Row. Super Bowl.
Like, for anyone that's never been around it or whatever, Radio Row, it's like a bunch of just radio stands set up for all these local stations. We had our thing there. Like, it's a hectic environment, but it's not one that's overly charged like that. Yeah. It's a lot of, overweight sports talk radio people like us slugging coffee and walking around like zombies.
It's the lowest rung of the human food chain. Let's be clear. Radio World is the lowest rung on the human food chain.
It's like Mark Schlereth always said that once you get to offensive line, the next thing that you evolve into, a wide receiver can eat their way into a tight end, a DN can eat their way to a D tackle, a guard becomes a fan after that.
That's exactly right.
A guard becomes a sports talk radio host, then a fan.
Which Mark Schlereth has become, so congratulations to him. But this all took place right in front of our set, by the way, at Golic and Wingo when we were at the Super Bowl. And here was Masvidal, the UFC fighter, explaining the altercation at Radio Row in January. This is what he said at the time.
Well, I just told him, I go, man, you've been talking a lot of shit, saying this and that. I'm going to straight up say it to your face. You're not there for nobody else. He goes, what's that? I go, I'm going to f*** you up. I'm just letting you know, I'm going to embarrass you from start to finish so you don't hear she say stuff. No, I'm letting you know right to your face. I'm going to f*** you up the same way that I've let a lot of my opponents before. I like to do it more in private if it could just be me and them and look them right in their soul and tell them I'm going to f*** you up. But, I didn't get that chance with this dude. I don't like Usman, If I could have altercations with him every day, I would have.
And for people that don't know a lot about Masvidal, he grew up as a sort of backyard fighter in Miami. And people are like, are you concerned about the short fight? He was once, I think Ariel tweeted this earlier, and he'll join us a little bit later on this morning. He once got a call while he was working at a McDonald's to come do a backyard fight against a Kimbo Slice protege in Miami. He just showed up and won. He won that fight too. So I don't think taking a fight on a week's notice is going to be a big problem for him.
Yeah, going from McDonald's to a backyard to a week's notice going to Abu Dhabi for Fight
Island
is the kind of come up that I think any fighter would sign up for. So I'm sure he's going to be ready for it. It sounds like we may get exactly what he's wanted for about a year now.
Yeah, and Ariel will join us in just a little bit, about a couple hours from now, to talk about that fight and everything else that's going on. But coming up next, there is growing momentum internally on the idea of the Washington NFL franchise changing its name for good. We'll ask a member of their Ring of Fame to discuss the matter. That's next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, including our next guest, who has a long time been a fixture of the Washington football team. Brian Mitchell, of course, great running back, returner, you name it. He done it, receiver out of the backfield. He's in the Redskins Ring of Honor. He works for NBC Sports Washington. Just basically a fixture for the team for many, many years. Excuse me. And we're delighted to join by Brian Mitchell now. Brian, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem.
What has your What has your reaction been, and what are you hearing from fans in the area about the potential, although not official, but the potential of Washington changing the franchise team name?
Well, a lot of fans, you know, they feel they want to hold on to it, but there are a lot of fans that understand what's going on. They understand the climate of what's happening now. And I think so many times we get so caught up in the fact that we think we're showing honor. We can't tell somebody what shows them honor. If something offends them, it offends them. And I think right now you can see from Dan and many people around the organization, they're starting to understand that I have to listen and begin to move forward.
Brian, and I'm sure you get this question a lot, but as someone who was playing there, what was it like as a player hearing this name, hearing the controversy that may or may not have been talked about around it when you were a part of the team? What was it like hearing and knowing that name was a part of who you guys were as a team?
Well, for me, it was like, you know, I got here in 1990, and I was asked the question then, and I felt then that, you know, you should have an adult, mature conversation and listen, and then things can happen. I felt that same way. And for me, I never really thought it was something that I can change because, you know, I wasn't the owner. Jack King Cook was at first. Then Dan came along later on and took over. I felt that those people needed to sit down and have those conversations, which seems to be happening now. And I understand people are going to say it's because of the money aspect in it. But still, you have to be a person willing to sit down and willing to change.
Brian Mitchell with us again in the team's Ring of Fame. And you mentioned the money aspect of it. That can't be overstated here. You have both Nike, who's basically taken them off the list of teams in the NFL and the products that they sell, and then FedEx, who, of course, have the naming rights to the stadium as it currently exists. And, of course, he's trying to get a new stadium, Daniel Snyder is, built downtown at the site of old RFK. How much of the financial pressure do you think is a part of this?
I think it had a lot to do with it, you know, but I think also those companies were getting pressure too. I think we look at a few days ago, it was a bunch of shareholders and investors that were worth $620 billion that started to speak up. And then you saw those companies, and those companies began to put the pressure on them. So I look at the fact that everybody was getting pressure, and it came from everywhere. And I both of you all know, you know, Golic and Wingo, y'all both understand that in this day and age, people don't do things until that money pressure begins to come on them. And when that happens, you see things happen rather quickly.
So, Brian, I'm curious. You work for NBC Sports Washington. You've got a radio show in the afternoon. We mentioned you're hearing from fans a lot in all this. And the one thing that we've heard consistently is the complaint that, well, if you change the name, you're going to alienate a lot of fans. Do you think that there's really going to be a mass exodus of fans, or do you think that this could actually open it up for more people to embrace the team?
I go with the latter. I think it's going to open it up for more people. And I asked the question on my radio show this week. Do you cheer for the name, or do you cheer for the players? Do you cheer for the organization? You know, the name is not necessarily what somebody cheer for. I just think that's our way as Americans, where we're selfish. We want what we want no matter what it does to somebody else. And all these people that are saying, well, if the name changed, I'm going, well, you wasn't a fan anyway. I've never seen someone buy a jersey and put the name of the team on the back of it. They put the name of the players on the back of it. So if you love this organization and you see them changing for the better, and if they come out and start winning, the same people around here that had pride in that organization before is going to have pride moving forward.
I do find it kind of funny that they put up with all the losing over the years, and they stayed loyal to the organization through all these horrible losing seasons, but then you change the name, and that's when they're going to leave? I find that to be a little disingenuous.
It is. I believe that. I think those same people are going to be here, because what we do, we find out, we begin to love what's here. You know, we love it because it's a part of the area that you live in, the area that you grew up in. And I think if that continues, if they start changing that, which I believe is going to start changing, I believe Ron Rivera has been a big influence for the people on the field and even all this stuff going on right now. So I'm expecting a lot of better things to start happening for this organization.
Brian Mitchell with us here on Golic and Wingo, former Washington running back, talking with us. And you mentioned the money in all this, and you mentioned the influence around Daniel Snyder. We heard coming off the weekend that a group of minority shareholders who own roughly 40% of the team are in talks right now to potentially sell their stake in the team because they no longer feel comfortable being around Dan Snyder. Do you find the timing of that curious, that now is all this change is on the horizon, that this group would be looking to get out at this point?
Yeah, I find that rather strange. And, you know, I've been researching to try to find out any truth to it, but you don't know anything now. I don't know that this is factual, because when I look at it, why would someone want to back out right now? You know, unless it's a way of trying to see if more potential people want to come in, which does what? Pushes your evaluation up, which would help all of those guys too. So I'm a little skeptical on that article coming out at this time.
Again, that was something in the Washington Post, and we'll see what happens with those three minority investments that make about 40% of the team. And again, we use minority as in less than the majority. Not
yeah, and one of those guys was Fred Smith, who is working with FedEx. So you understand?
Right, absolutely.
So we'll see exactly where that goes.
Those are big dollars we're talking about more than anything else. So Brian, let me ask you this. You know Daniel Snyder. You were playing for him when he owned the team. You know that he has used the word never 100 times over when talking about this. It's going to actually be his call at some point. You think he's really at a place finally where he's understanding that this has to happen?
Totally. I think he is. And this is the thing about it. I felt all this time Dan has had people around him that basically told him what he wanted to hear. They've shielded other people from getting to him, so I guess they wouldn't get the right information to him. And now, ever since he started going on this search with Ron, he's kind of stepped out of that. And I've always said that I felt if he made his own decisions, that's the thing about I noticed, when he's around himself and he's having conversations, he's engaging. When he was around a lot of the people that were surrounding him and Bruce and Vinny and all those guys, he's a different person. So I think at this point, thinking for yourself is going to move things in the right direction. And I think he is totally – he understands that, you know, I need to do this. It's the right thing to do.
What is it about Ron Rivera that's been such a positive influence here?
You know, I was with Ron up there in Philly, and the thing I've always noticed about him is that he's fair and people believed in him. And I think now you see he's having that same influence on Dan. He's having that same influence on most of the people around here too. But, you know, ultimately you still want to see him go out there and win on the football field. But the thing about it, when he's asked questions, he doesn't try to skirt all the questions. You know, he's talking in a fair manner. Like, they ask him about the kneeling aspect. It's a constitutional right. You know, why am I to sit here and try to stop somebody from doing what they have the right to do? So I think just that type of answer makes a lot of guys feel a lot more comfortable with him. You know, and I'm not trying to sit up here and compare him to Joe, but Joe was the exact same way, to where he didn't answer questions to you in a way like, because I said so. It was, he did everything based off of what was fair. And then when people see a coach being that way, they want to do anything they can for him to have him, make sure he has success.
Yeah, that Joe being, of course, Joe Gibbs, Hall of Fame coach who led the Redskins to three Super Bowl championships, which you were a part of one of those, with three different starting quarterbacks, by the way. That never gets enough credit that he did it with three different starting quarterbacks and won three Super Bowls. So, Brian, let's move this thing forward. Let's assume that this is going to happen. Have you heard or has there been any sort of talk about what that name should be, or is it still too much of a flashpoint to even think about moving on yet as part of that discussion in the D.C. area?
Well, yeah, people have been throwing names around all the time. And a lot of people are trying to, you know, they are saying they should use a name that still has the R in it because they want to be able to still have the HTTR. And Dan has made the comments that he wants to do something that's going to show honor and respect to the Indian Nation and also the military. So I think if you've got to move on. I've had people come to me. You talk so much about the Native Americans. You talk about the Native D.C. people, the Natives. You know, I've had people say different things about the nation because all of the, like mostly here, like the Iroquois Nation and the Cherokee Nation, those type of things. But ultimately, it's been names from Red Hawks or Red Tails. You know, if you open up the phone lines, you're going to get something from A to Z, to be totally honest with you.
How about the Washington Pigskins? Because they were the hogs up front. Just the Washington Pigskins football.
Trey is really all in, Brian, on any sort of pig-related name in all this one as a friend of large people everywhere.
They've said the Pigskins, they've said the Hogs, but if you go by what he said, that he wants to make sure it's going to be a name to show that honor and respect for, you know, the same population that people felt that the name was demeaning them from the beginning, and also on top of that, the military. I don't know if the Pigskins are going to work.
So we have to ask you, as Brian Mitchell is with us, we have to ask you about something that popped up on Twitter over the weekend. I'm sure you saw it. Asante Samuel, who was a really good cornerback for a lot of years in the NFL, came up with the Patriots, then went to Philly and other places. just decided to poke a bear here that I'm not sure he understood what road he was going down. He basically put out a tweet asking, hey, tell me why Darryl Green is so great. He did all this nickel stuff and only had 45 interceptions, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, he got roasted by a million people, including Hall of Fame head coach Tony Dungy. Uh-huh. But as someone who played with Darryl Green, can you just set the record straight for people how incredible Darryl was as a player?
Listen, he wasn't just a nickel guy.
The
guy played for 20 years running a 4.240 or better. The thing about Darryl is most of his career, teams wasn't just throwing the football around like they do today, like they did most of Asante Samuel's career. And most times when we played against people, they didn't go at Darryl Green. And I think that's the whole thing. You know, if you're throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game in this day and age, the defensive backs have a big opportunity to go get interceptions. And then on top of that, he's a terrific guy. You know, I think that's the whole thing. And I saw him for that, and I answered to him, too. I told him, if you don't understand, then you're a fool, point blank.
Yeah, I mean, look, I saw that, and I was like, really? There? You want to go there? You want to go there with Darryl Green, the guy who would show up and just not even stretch and beat everybody in the NFL as the fastest man in the league for, what, 5 straight years? He was remarkable.
Yes. No, I don't understand that one, you know. Out of all the people you can pick with, Darryl's the last one to try and do it with.
Yes, right. It's just like pick 20 other people, man. Why are you going to 28? It just makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, really tough call on that one. So glad we were able to set the record on that in a number of ways. And, Brian, we certainly appreciate the time and perspective this morning on everything going on with the Washington football team and the name change. I'm sure we'll check in with you again soon.
Thanks,
okay,
Brian.
Man. Y'all have a great day. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah. Brian's smart, man.
He is, man. That Asante Samuel tweet did not go well for him. You went,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
This is where you, like, this is. I always think of Joe Dirt. This is where you want to be when Jesus come back, making fun of the little Joe Dirt. Like, this is where you want to be, picking at the credentials of Darryl Green.
Darryl Green. I mean, pick a million other guys, but like, it's the classic example of I'm going to look at some stats and not look at film. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's exactly what
you go back and you start looking at box scores and you see numbers that don't add up. You know, this interception count over the course of 20 years gonna be interesting in this.
So we'll see what happens again with the change of the team name in Washington. They're undergoing that review. You know, it's interesting. You heard Brian Mitchell say that they want to do something that will show respect to Native people. I'm not sure Native people actually want that to be a part of it.
Yeah, I really feel like that might be something that as we go along here, and we'll get into this later because this is, I don't think, the ending for this idea of Native American-related mascots and what's going on. We'll hear from Tito Francona in a little bit about what might be the future for the Indians and a number of other teams that we haven't heard from yet that I have a feeling aren't going to be allowed to sit by idly and just wait in the wings on this conversation.
Yeah, the Atlanta Braves have made a comment. We'll get to all of that a little bit later, but now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And, of course, baseball is trying to get back out there and get going. And we're in the process here, and you see some people working out at their facilities, teams working out at their stadiums. We had an unfortunate incident at Yankee Stadium where Giancarlo Stanton just rocked a line drive right back at Masahiro Tanaka, and he's dealing with a mild concussion. Thankfully, he's going to be okay. That could have been a lot worse.
I was going to say, thankfully, it wasn't like when Giancarlo Stanton got rocked in the face by a pitch and had the entire, you know, orbital bone, all that stuff there that you had to deal with. So it somehow just skates by with a concussion in this.
So mild concussion. Hopefully the CT scan came back negative. Hopefully he's going to be fine. But then as this is going on, you had Sean Doolittle of the Washington Nationals get up there and basically sort of speak a lot of truth, or tried to a lot of people, about what we're trying to do with sports in a time where we are continuing to see coronavirus spike in more than half the states in the country.
We're trying to bring baseball back during a pandemic that's killed 130,000 people. We're way worse off as a country than where we were in March when we shut this thing down. And like, look at where other developed countries are in their response to this. We haven't done any of the things that other countries have done to bring sports back. Sports are like the reward of a functional society. And we're just trying to just bring it back, even though we've taken none of the steps to flatten the curve, whatever you want to say. We did flatten the curve for a little bit, but we didn't use that time to do anything productive. We just opened back up for Memorial Day. We decided we're done with it. If there aren't sports, it's going to be because people are not wearing masks, because the response to this has been so politicized. Like, we need help from the general public. If they want to watch baseball, like, please wear a mask, social distance, keep washing your hands. We can't just have virus fatigue and think, well, it's been 4 months, like we're over it. This has been enough time, right? We've waited long enough. Like, shouldn't sports come back now? No, there's things we have to do in order to bring the stuff back. And now you want to bring fans back? Is that safe? I'm not a public health expert, but like, we should probably defer to them on some of these issues. So I don't know. I don't know if it's safe or not. I really don't know.
All of that, by the way, is the straightest talk you're ever going to get from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I mean, it's always what you say on Twitter. Spot the lie. Where? What has he said that's incorrect there? Have we done the things necessary as a country to bring this back? Or I think what he said was perfect. We're all just like, oh, we've done this for 4 months. Screw it. I'm over it. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
It is so interesting, though. This all made me think of this idea of sports as a reward. Like, yeah. My brother was not a model student growing up. And you could punish him. You could do all these number of things. The only thing that ever really resonated was taking sports away. This idea that you cannot go on and take the field, the court, whatever it was, unless your stuff was right off the court when it came to school. And that was the only thing that ever really had an effect. And we saw this at the beginning with the shutdown, where sports started shutting down and people went, oh, this is real.
Right.
And then as time went along, Trey, you remember around the draft, there were a lot of people wondering, our own Adam Schefter wondered why we were going on and doing this in the time that they right. were. And one of the things that I understood as a concern, and that you can see kind of becoming a concern now, is the more you treat sports like everything is normal and it's going along as planned, the more society is going to think, huh, we're doing all right with this stuff. Yeah. Because for some reason, that's the only language that we're able to speak is, all right, are sports disrupted? If the answer is no on the flow chart here, then we seem to proceed
we're
as usual.
Good.
And we all go out to Diamond Lake and drink human soup in the water out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, there were a couple of videos over this week. I'm like, what are you doing?
You're doing exactly what we were all afraid of on 4th right. of July weekend. Right. I saw Cole Kublik, who does great work for us in the SEC Network and others, was on a podcast and said, I believe that July 4th weekend is the most important weekend that we have left when it comes to what's going to happen with college football this fall.
Yeah.
Because you could see in that a rash of positive tests depending on how these athletes chose to live over the weekend. Like, and that's what we could see with all of this. And it seems like unless we get, going back to the Major League Baseball example, you know, shut down something to kind of knock us off the perch of what we've got now, people are just going to seem to keep going on business as usual.
And again, the best thing that I think Sean said there is something that has been politicized that is not political in any way, shape, or form. It's the idea of wearing a face covering. It's been proven effective everywhere. Everywhere where you do this, it's proven to stop the spread of the virus. So why people are still refusing to do it, I have no idea.
Mike Trout's mom was
Thank
tweeting
you.
About
Debbie
it.
Debbie Trout is a hero.
Mike Trout doesn't want to talk ever.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine Mike Trout's mom wants to talk even less. And you have all collectively forced that woman to come out with PSAs for wearing your mask involving her son. I mean, my God, look what you've done.
And then to that point, Myron Metcalf, who was on ESPN Radio over the weekend, basically brought up a very good point, because Trout has talked openly about whether or not he wants to be a part of this. He's there right now, and he's going through the process. But Myron brought up a very good point. Here he is explaining the significance of the idea of potentially Mike Trout deciding to opt out of baseball trying to start.
That is LeBron James coming out and saying, you know what, guys, I don't know if we should go to the bubble. That to me is Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or Drew Brees stepping up and saying, should we really be having an NFL season this year? It's remarkable to me just the weight that this carries. Because to me, if Mike Trout isn't sure if he's going to play, then I think everybody else in Major League Baseball has to be thinking the same way. Because if Mike Trout pulls out, I think you would see a bunch of players in the coming weeks who would do the same thing.
He would be the Pied Piper here.
Maybe. Like Mike Trout as a player is absolutely in the
yes.
category of those guys. But his name does not carry the weight like that. He doesn't speak for the sport like that. He barely speaks for himself half the time in all of this. So with all due respect to Myron, I flat out don't agree there. I think it would cause people to take notice, but I don't think all of a sudden Mike Trout is going to lead
well,
the cause on this.
Let me put it in a different perspective. I think you're right in terms of the public perception. But I think in terms of guys inside their game that have that kind of respect, yes, he would have that kind of respect. it would have that kind of ripple effect among other baseball players about what are we doing.
I guess just as far as one of your best deciding not to go, which there could be financial implications. Yes. We know the haircut a lot of these guys are taking financially. But I just think as far as we've never heard Mike Trout as someone who's been the voice of the players the way LeBron James certainly is publicly, yes. The way Patrick Mahomes has become a visible face of the league. The dynamic's just not the same, at least as far as we see from the outside, because we barely get anything from Mike Trout from the outside. So we have really no idea.
But thank you to Mike Trout's mom. Basically, that tweet with him. If Mike Trout can run the bases wearing a mask, you can wear a mask. Hashtag wear a mask.
We're seeing all these guys. I saw a picture of LeBron James training with a mask on. Like, the best athletes in the world can go about and do this. I promise you, if they can do it, you can walk to the grocery store with one on.
You'll be fine. Coming up next, the Washington football team changing his name may just be the tip of the iceberg. We'll get to more of that next. Golic and Wingo.